Welcome all of you to the Bhakti Sanskar conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabhdas Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 14th chapter and 24th verse. I would like to give hand out the call to Tiffany Mataji to give the brief introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, please take out the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Padma Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He completed BTech and MTech from IIT Mumbai in 2001, and then he worked in IT for 2 years. However, his heart became attracted to Krishna consciousness, and since 2003, he has been serving in the Brahmachari Ashram of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. He has served in the Sikh devotee care and deity department. He has served in the education department since 2013, and he also does youth preaching and congregation preaching as well. Prabhuji is a teacher of Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav, and he has been teaching in the Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapit, Govardhan Eco Village, Wada, Mumbai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji is on the call.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for joining the call and giving your valuable association today for enlightening us. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashtaprayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiti Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru. Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha, Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Kada Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya प्रभु नित्या आदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 24. मुक्तस्ततो यदि बंदात् देवदत्त उपाच्छिनत्ति तस्मादपि विष्णुमित्र इत्यनवस्थितिः. वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन. मुक्तः लिबरेटेड ततः फ्रॉम दैट यदि इफ बंदात फ्रॉम द गवर्नमेंट इम्प्रिजनमेंट आर बीइंग बीटन बाय द प्रोटेक्टर ऑफ द विमेन देवदत्त पर्सन नेम्ड देवदत्त उपाच्छिनत्ति टेक्स द मनी फ्रॉम हिम तस्मात फ्रॉम द पर्सन नेम्ड देवदत्त अपि अगेन विष्णुमित्र ए पर्सन नेम्ड विष्णुमित्र इति तस अनवस्थिति ही द रिचेस डू नॉट स्टे इन वन प्लेस बट पास फ्रॉम वन हैंड टू अनदर. Translation and a purport by Zivain Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Stealing or cheating another person out of his money, the conditioned soul somehow or other keeps it in his possession, and escapes the punishment. Then another man named Devadatta cheats him and takes the money away. Similarly, another man named Vishnu Mitra steals the money from Devadatta and takes it away. In any case, the money does not stay in one place. It passes from one hand to another. Ultimately, no one can enjoy the money and it remains the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Riches come from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and the goddess of fortune is the property of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goddess of fortune cannot stay anywhere but by the side of Narayan. Therefore, another name of her names is Chanchala, restless. She cannot be peaceful unless she is in the company of her husband Narayana. For example, Lakshmi was carried away by the materialistic Ravana. Ravana kidnapped Sita, the goddess of fortune belonging to Lord Ram. As a result, Ravana's entire family, opulence and kingdom were smashed, and Sita, the goddess of fortune, was recovered from his clutches and reunited with Lord Ram. Thus, all property, riches and wealth belong to Krishna as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Mukeshwaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, and he is the supreme proprietor of all the planetary systems. Foolish materialistic people collect money and steal from other thieves, but they cannot keep it. In any case, it must be spent. One person cheats another and another person cheats someone else. Therefore, the best way to possess Lakshmi is to keep her by the side of Narayan. This is the point of the Krishna consciousness movement. We worship Lakshmi along with Narayana. We collect money from various sources, but that money does not belong to anyone but Radha and Krishna. If money is utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayana, the devotee automatically lives in an opulent way. However, if one wants to enjoy Lakshmi the way Ravana did, he will be vanquished by the laws of nature, and whatever few possessions he has will be taken away. Finally, death will take everything away, and death is the representative of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from the fifth canto, chapter 14, text number 24. In this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining that forest of material enjoyment allegory explained by Jadabharat to Raghugana Maharaj. The 13th chapter, Jadabharat explained the allegory of forest of material enjoyment to Raghugana Maharaj. There are two allegorical stories come mainly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is the allegorical story explained by Narada to Prachina Barihishat. And second is the allegory explained by Jadabharat to Raghugana, the forest of material enjoyment. So when Parikshit Maharaj heard the description, he is asking Shukadeva Goswami, can you please explain the meaning of this allegory explained by Jadabharat to Raghugana Maharaj? Even in the fourth canto, when Narada Muni explained the allegory story of a Puranjana, Prachina Barishat asked the question to Narada Muni, can you please explain this meaning behind this allegorical story? So sometimes we see that sometimes we may hear some nice stories or some jokes or anecdotes. But in the course of that, we may fail to grasp the meaning behind, the philosophy behind those allegories or stories. So we should not be simply satisfied to hear some exciting story or some jokes. We should be eager to understand the lesson or the meaning behind that story. From a hearer point of view. And from the speaker point of view, one should not only be eager to tell the story, but one should also be eager to speak the philosophy or the message behind that story. So Narada Muni explained the meaning of the allegorical story, and then he explained that meaning in a very straightforward way, the 29th chapter, 4th canto. Here Shukadeva Goswami is also explaining the meaning of this allegory. So various verses in this chapter correspond to the allegory explained in the previous chapter. So in the today's verse, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining that how money does not stay in one place. A person may steal money from somebody else or cheat somebody to get some money, and then he acquires a certain money, but then some other person called as Devadatta, he cheats him and then takes away the money, and then from Devadatta another person takes the money from him. In this way, money goes from one place to another place. It does not stay at a particular place permanently. The nature of Lakshmi is chanchala. One who does not stay at a particular place. It passes from one hand to another. Ultimately, nobody can enjoy the money. And ultimately, Lakshmi is the property, supreme personality of God. So here, the whole purport is that the theme of this verse is that Krishna is the proprietor of Lakshmi. Lakshmi does not stay at a particular place permanently. Lakshmi moves from one place to another place. If money is utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, then the devotee becomes opulent. If money is not utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, then a person will have the Lakshmi will leave that person eventually. And the example of Ravana is also quoted by Prabhupada. So I will discuss something on this topic of wealth from different shlokas. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, how success in life is defined. When Dhruva Maharaj was hurt by the words of his stepmother Suruchi, he goes to Suniti. At that time, Suniti tells Dhruva Maharaj you are interested in getting a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma, the only person who can fulfill your desire is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead was worshipped by your grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu. Tata Manurvo Bhagavan Pita Maho Yameka Matya Purudakshinair Makai Ishtvabhi Pede Duravapa Manyato Baumam Sukham Divyam Atapa Vargyam. Your grandfather Swayambhuva Manu executed great sacrifices with a distribution of charity, and he worshipped and satisfied the Supreme Personality of God. And in this way, he achieved greatest success in material happiness while living in this world. Then after leaving this world, he achieved liberation, which is impossible to obtain by worshipping the devatas. Baumam sukham divyam atapa vargyam. Ishtvabhipede duravapa manyato. So Prabhupada says that the success of one's life is measured by one's material happiness in this life and liberation in the next life. And such success can be achieved only by the grace of the Supreme Personality of God. So the definition of success is not given only in terms of attaining liberation after death. Definition of success is given in terms of material happiness while living in this world and also liberation in the next world. So the Vedic literatures give a very wholesome program. Isopanishad says that vidyam cha avidyam cha yas tadvedo ubayam saha avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya mritam ashnute. One who knows vidya and avidya side by side, such a person enjoys the full blessings of immortality. So one who knows vidya means a transcendental knowledge for getting out of this world. And one who knows avidya, avidya here means the material knowledge for living with prosperity in this world. One who knows both, he is considered to be successful. He enjoys the full blessings of immortality. So the Vedic literatures give you just like in a traditional, this one, there's a wholesome meal is there. Whether wholesome meal means what? Wholesome meal means different varieties of foodstuffs will be there. Salty foodstuffs, sweets will be there, savories will be there. Wholesome meal means there are foods which can be sucked, that will be there. There are food items which can be drunk, will be there. There are six types of food items, or four types of this one. Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasado. Four types of food items which can be sucked, which can be.
My heart, sir.
Hari Bol. So the spiritual master offers four types of foodstuffs to the Supreme Lord, and when he sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating the prasadam, he feels happy. So wholesome meal means different types of foodstuffs. So Vedic literatures also give a wholesome program. Wholesome program, success in this life and also liberation in the next world. In fact, the 18 Vidyasthanam, 18 departments of knowledge in Sanatana Dharma. What are these 18? Four Vedas, Rik Yajur Sama Atharva, six Vedangas, Shiksha Chandas, Vyakarana Nirukti, Kalpa and Jyotisha, six Vedangas, and four Upangas, four auxiliary limbs of the Vedas, Nyaya Shastra, Mimamsa Shastra, Dharma Shastra, and Puranas. And then four Upavedas, Dhanurveda, Ayurveda, Gandharva Veda, and Arthashastra. Dhanurveda deals with the science of archery. Gandharva Veda deals with the science of music. Ayurveda is with the health. Arthashastra is about ruling the kingdom and earning wealth. So Vedas give a wholesome program. That is why there are such varieties of topics. Varieties, 18 departments of knowledge. In each department, there are multiple books. So it is not that Vedas speak only about leaving this world and attaining the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam is purely about Krishna Bhakti and it prepares a person for leaving this world. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam will contain several verses about the disadvantages of wealth, and it will talk about how one should be satisfied and not greedy and not over-endeavor. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is a purely otherworldly scripture which teaches Krishna Bhakti with the flavor of renunciation. But there are other Vedic literatures like Arthashastra, different sections of Mahabharata, they talk about the importance of earning wealth. And that is also one part of success, according to the definition of success given by Prabhupada in the fourth canto, that verse spoken by Suniti. So Vedic literatures give you a program for living a long life, healthy life, prosperous life, happy life, and a spiritual life. That is why I say it's a wholesome program. So Swayambhu Manu, the Shrimad Bhagavatam third canto describes how Swayambhu Manu enjoyed his kingdom, but in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. That Swayambhu Manu enjoyed life with his wife and subjects and fulfilled his desires without being disturbed by unwanted principles contrary to the principles of Dharma. So in that purport, Prabhupada explains that the Vedic principles are designed in such a way that the conditioned souls who have come to this material existence may be guided in fulfilling their material desires and at the same time be liberated and go back home, back to God. So although Swayambhu Manu was absorbed in material happiness, he was not dragged to the lowest grade of life, for he always enjoyed his material happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. So this is the definition of success. The example how Swayambhu Manu attained this success. Prosperity in this world, liberation in the next world. And then another thing about the what is the real definition of wealth? Well, at least in the previously when the Vedic culture was there, what was the definition of wealth and how as time progresses, the definition of wealth also changes. The definition of wealth changes, that also has to be kept in mind. The 10th canto is explained that Gavo Vrisha Vatsatara Haridra Taila Roshita Vichitra Dhatu Barhasrag Vastra Kanchana Malinaha. So in Vrindavan, the cows and bulls and the cows were thoroughly smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil, mixed with varieties of minerals. Their heads were bedecked with the peacock feathers. And they were garlanded and covered with a cloth and a golden ornaments. And the cowherd men were dressed very opulently and valuable ornaments and garments such as the coats and turbans. And in this way, by decorating themselves in a nice way, they approached the house of Nanda Maharaj to celebrate the appearance of Krishna. So Prabhupada says that when we consider the past condition of the agriculturist in the village, we can see how opulent he was. Simply because of the agricultural produce and the protection of the cows. But at the present, because agriculture has been neglected and cow protection is given up, the agriculturist is suffering pitiably and is dressed in a niggardly fashion with a torn cloth. And this is the distinction between the India of history and the India of the present day. So as time has progressed, people consider maybe having a cow to be a burden or a different this thing. So definition of wealth has changed. Previously, having valuable jewels, gold, and having cows and land, that was considered to be the sign of wealth. And in fact, and another definition of wealth is in terms of the relationships one has. Relationships are considered a greater wealth than the things. But as time progresses, Kali Yuga is progressing, the physical money is considered to be a greater wealth than the relationships. So that is why people want to have less children, but want to have greater bank balance and greater flats, etc. But what is the use of having so much of wealth if you don't have many children to actually who can enjoy after your departure? But previously, people considered having more children to be the greater wealth. Huh. So we can see the effect of Kali Yuga, how it changes the definition of wealth. And Mahabharata says that Parasya Pidaya Labdam Dharmasyo Ullanganena Cha Atmava Mana Sampraptam Nadanam Tat Sukayavai. The wealth which is earned by troubling others, by disobeying dharma, or even swallowing self-insult, such a wealth does not bring happiness. If you have to, in order to earn the wealth, suppose you have to be insulted by others, or to earn the wealth you are following adharma, or by you have to give trouble to others, then although you may earn a lot of wealth, but that wealth will not bring happiness. And another principle in wealth, Niti says that five things in our life should be done slowly and gradually. Shanai Panta, Shanai Kanta, Shanai Parvata Mastake, Shanair Vidya, Shanair Vittam, Panchaitani, Shanai Shanai. When you are going on a long travel, long path, you must walk slowly. Shanai Panta. Shanai Kanta, when you want to pursue a life of renunciation, one should gradually develop that spirit of renunciation, not abruptly. And when a person is Parvata Mastake, when you are climbing a mountain, slowly climb the mountain. Because all these things, when you become too fast in the beginning, after some time you will actually lose the enthusiasm, will become tired. Renunciation also, it should be developed gradually, not that you suddenly develop a great renunciation, but the next day you forget. Then it will become like a smashana vairagya. And shanair vidya, knowledge also has to be learned gradually. Current times, knowledge is learned in a crash course manner. They want to get knowledge quickly without going through the trouble and in a crash course way. And shanair vittam, when you want to increase your wealth, that also has to be done gradually. So currently, books like How to Become a Millionaire in 6 months. There are people who have started a business at the age of 50. And 7-8 years, they have become a big billionaires actually. Recently, there was one company, it was a beauty products company. how age is not a barrier. But when people see such examples, they also want to make a quick money. But all these things are against nature. When you want to learn fast, when you want to go fast in the mountain, when you want to go fast while going on a long path, you are doing something artificial. And that artificial, anything which is not natural, that cannot sustain itself. Therefore, when we want to increase the wealth, it should also be accumulated and increased gradually. Otherwise, we may earn, we may increase the wealth enormously, but that wealth will also be lost quickly. There are people who earn wealth quickly, but they also lose their wealth quickly. And for the sake of wealth, one should not compromise dharma. Guru nuhatva hi mahanu bhavan shreyo boktum baikshyamapi haloke hatvartha kamam stu guruni haiva bunjiya bogan rudira pradigdan. So Arjuna says that it is better to eat by begging in this life and not killing such great elders. Having killed elders who are even desiring wealth, I will enjoy objects contaminated with their blood. So Arjuna is reluctant to fight with the elders. At that time, Krishna says, you should reject your elders, Bhishma and Drona. Although they are elders, but they are contaminated with the arrogance of war. And therefore, they have lost the discrimination of right and wrong by association with the evil Duryodhana. Krishna says that there is no fault in rejecting such superiors. Gurorapyavaliptasya karya karyam ajanatah utpata pratipannasya parityago vidiyate. One should reject the guru who is proud, does not know proper behavior of right and wrong, and who becomes addicted to sinful life. When Krishna gives his reasoning, Arjuna says in response, but these elders, they have the most outstanding powers among all the persons. Guru nu hatvahi mahanu bhava. Because they have studied the Vedas and Bhishma Dev has observed lifelong brahmacharya vow and he has got the benediction of Ichha Mrityu. It means like time is under his control. Whenever he decides to leave, he can choose his time of departure. So having brought time under control, lust under control, and other factors under control, they are free from the faults arising from these factors. Therefore, I should not fight against Bhishma and Drona. Then Krishna responds to Arjuna, the very Bhishma whom you don't want to fight with, the very Bhishma has said, Artasya Purusho Daso Dasa Twarto Na Kasyachit Iti Satyam Maharaja Baddos Myartena Kauravaihi. The very Bhishma said, man is a servant of wealth, but wealth is not the servant of anybody. And this is the truth. And I have been bound by the wealth of the Kauravas. This is a statement made by Bhishma. So Krishna is reminding the statement made by Bhishma to Arjuna, saying that this Bhishma is he has become the servant of the wealth. Therefore, what is the great authority of those who have sold their souls out of greed for wealth? And they deserve to be killed in the battle. In this way, Krishna is saying that do not compromise dharma just for the sake of artha. Don't become actually a slave of the wealth. So dharmic scriptures, Vedic scriptures, they definitely talk about wealth, about the importance of wealth. Arthashastra begins with the statement, dharmasya moolam arthaha. Artha is the root of dharma. That means even to practice our dharma, we need a certain level of stability which arises from material wealth. For practicing bhakti or something, anything, you need a certain level of material stability. If you are every day anxious about if you don't have a proper house, if you don't have some basic financial stability, if you are running hands to mouth, then you will find it difficult to practice bhakti on a practical level. Because we as conditioned souls, we do get affected by the circumstances. But on a theoretical level, bhakti is independent of any situation. So, therefore, Vedic scriptures say that dharmasya moolam arthaha. The root of dharma is artha. Therefore, the scriptures talk about how to earn wealth. At the same time, the Vedic scriptures, they despise making wealth as the goal of life. At the same time, they do acclaim that wealth is a tool for stability in life. So the challenge with anything in this world is to find out whether we are making something which is supposed to be a tool into a goal. So bhakti is the goal, or the Krishna prema is the goal. But wealth is a tool. But sometimes a materialist makes the tool as the goal. He makes the increasing wealth as the goal of life. And he uses bhakti or spirituality as a tool. As long as spirituality helps me to earn wealth more, then I will practice spirituality. So just like wealth is like a salt. Artha is like a salt. Salt is needed in the food. But if you put more salt than necessary, that means if you over endeavor for artha and kama, then it is like a life with excessive salt, or a food with excessive salt. Therefore, salt should be in the appropriate proportion in the background. Similarly, artha and kama should be in the appropriate proportion, and they should not cover our practice of bhakti. 1 minute. So many people feel that wealth abnegation is a safe road to greed. Just don't pursue wealth only. And others feel that ultimately life is about increasing wealth, and they indulge in wealth hoarding, accumulation of wealth. Going to both these extremes are easy. Both are easy paths to escape. Either to completely negate their wealth or be greedy for wealth. Both are extreme. But both these paths are not user friendly. Rather, both these paths are very artificial paths actually. So when Arjuna was hesitant to fight the battle, Krishna gave the wealth of wisdom to Arjuna in the form of the Gita, which would guide him to win and not lose to the Kauravas. And so Krishna made Arjuna alert about the sin of abnegation. That means he instructed Arjuna about having an escapist attitude. So therefore, wealth should not be neglected. At the same time, it should not be made as a goal of life. So when good people avoid the hard work of earning wealth, then it will only help the bad people to misuse the wealth more. So therefore, that one should not shy away from earning wealth, because when good people earn wealth, then they will also do some good work. They will also support others. So Lakshmi means chanchala. That means one who does not stay at a particular place permanently. So increasing the wealth is a challenge, and it is more difficult to protect and maintain that wealth. And even most important thing about the wealth is utilizing the wealth for the right purpose. So we see there are four stages of wealth. And they're just like, there are different stages of wealth: earning the wealth, increasing the wealth, maintaining the wealth, and the utilizing the wealth. So sometimes we may not have options in earning the wealth in a completely dharmic manner. And we may also have limited options in regards to increasing the wealth and protecting the wealth. But at least the fourth thing, utilizing the wealth for the right purpose, that is the most important thing. That is the most important thing. At least we should utilize it for the right purpose. So when we about over endeavor for wealth, there is a very beautiful shloka in Niti Shataka. I'll read the shloka. Yad datra nija bala patta likitam stokam mahadvadanam tat prapnoti marustalepi nitaram merau tatau nadikam tat dhiro bhava vitta vatsu kripanam vrittim vrita makrita kupe pashya payonidavapi gato grikshnati tulyam jalam. So this verse says that whatever Brahmaji has written in the top of your head about how much wealth you can earn, only that much wealth you can earn. Whatever amount of wealth has been granted for a human being, that wealth will surely come anyway. Even if you go to a desert, Marustale, but if you are supposed to become wealthy, you can become wealthy even in a desert. On the other hand, even if you go to the Sumeru mountain, which is made of gold, but if you are not destined to earn wealth, even if you go to Sumeru mountain, you will remain pauper. So therefore, sometimes when people over endeavor for wealth, I'm not saying about not endeavoring. People should endeavor to earn wealth. But when people over endeavor at the cost of several other factors like one's health, relationships, then it will cause a great imbalance. And so here Bhartrihari says that one should not accept just to increase one's wealth. One should not accept a servitude under some low class people, or servitude under some sinful people, because sometimes because of greed for wealth, we may end up serving some sinful people. So better to avoid that. Rather, you put your endeavor for earning wealth to the extent possible by following dharma. So if you take a pot, water pot, if you take it to a well, and then on the same pot, if you take it to a ocean, but the water you can fill in the you can fill in that pot will be the same whether you take it to a lake which is very small in nature, or whether you take the pot to a ocean, you can actually fill the same quantity of water, although the ocean is so huge compared to a well or a lake. So similarly, that a person may over endeavor, but if a person is destined not to get only certain amount of wealth, despite over endeavors, he will not be able to get that wealth. So that is what Bhagavatam also says, that tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyadaha thallabhyate dukkavad anyata sukam kalena sarvatra gabira ramnasa. The really intelligent person yearns for obtaining that goal which cannot be obtained by traveling from topmost planet Brahmaloka to the lowest species. So whatever actually is destined to get, a person will achieve. And the next point about the wealth of relationships. So as I mentioned previously, the wealth of relationships is a higher wealth as compared to the wealth of things. Vishnu tells Dhruva Samani, Naham Atmanam Ashase Madbhaktai Sadhubir Vina Shriyam Chatyantikim Brahman Yesham Gatiraham Para. He tells Dhruva, so best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. He says that without the presence of my devotees, all this opulence in Vaikuntha will become meaningless for me. So Lord Vishnu considers the wealth of relationships to be a higher wealth than the wealth of spiritual opulences in the form of Vaidurya, diamond, gold, etc. So just like Vishnu gave priority to relationships with other devotees over the physical wealth, similarly, Arjuna gave priority to relationship with Krishna over the resources offered by Krishna. We know the famous story that before the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna and Drona, they went to meet Krishna. Krishna told that I will not participate in the war. So, but one can actually, only my Narayana Sena will participate in the war. You can either ask for me or my Narayana Sena. So Arjuna asked for the relationship with Krishna. So without even the slightest hesitation, Arjuna asked for the relationship with Krishna over the resources of Krishna. And one may think that Arjuna made an emotional decision. It is not a good strategy on the part of Arjuna, because the Pandavas had a very small army and Kauravas had a huge army. And Arjuna could have asked for the relationships in the form of the Yadava army, resources in the form of the Yadava army. But still Arjuna chose to have the relationship with of Krishna. So affection is definitely one thing. But when you are fighting with insufficient resources, you will get defeated. And the Pandavas had very less resources. So one may say that Arjuna was unrealistic in asking for Krishna instead of the resources of Krishna. And Duryodhana was convinced that Arjuna is a fool. And the Pandavas had ruined their prospects of victory by not asking for the Narayana Sena, but instead of asking for Krishna. So Krishna asked Arjuna, why did you choose me, knowing well that I'm not going to lift the weapon? You should have chosen me, Narayana Sena. So Arjuna's understanding was that wherever there is Krishna, that itself is a victory. And everything else is a detail. So Arjuna knew that he himself was very resourceful, but he can actually get other resources. But Arjuna felt that what I need the most is the guidance and the grace of Krishna. Therefore, I want only your association more than your resources. So therefore, Krishna placed priority of wealth over the relationships over the wealth. The devotee Arjuna is placing priority of relationship over the wealth. So, and then another instance regarding wealth. If we compare Yudhishthir Maharaj versus Satrajit. Satrajit worshipped sun god and got a Shyamantaka jewel. And that Shyamantaka jewel, every day it was providing huge quantities of gold. And Krishna told Satrajit, it is not appropriate that you are keeping this jewel. You should hand over that jewel to Ugrasena, who can use the wealth for the right purpose, for the welfare of the kingdom. But Satrajit was very adamant. He did not listen to the advice of Krishna. So Satrajit, he simply kept on hoarding that huge quantity of gold which was given daily by sun god. On the other hand, Yudhishthira Maharaj also worshipped Suryadev, and he also got a benediction from the Suryadev in the form of the Akshaya Patra, which can give unlimited quantity of food every day till Draupadi has finished her meal. So at that time, so Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was every day obtaining unlimited quantity of food, but he was using that food not for enjoying oneself, but to serve the different brahmanas and brahmacharis under him when he was living in the forest. So we see both of them, Yudhishthir and Satrajit, both of them got benediction from sun god, but both of them utilized that benediction in a different way. Ultimately Satrajit was killed. Satrajit was killed actually. So, when we have material benediction, we have material wealth, if we do not utilize it for the right purpose, the same wealth can become the noose of our destruction. Just like the jewel producing Shyamantaka money, it became the cause of the destruction of Satrajit. So, Satrajit lost the opportunity to be called magnanimous, because he was too much self-conscious. So rather than being compassionate. So such kinds of benedictions, they end up becoming blessings. They end up becoming either blessings or they can become curses, depending on the mindset of the person who is receiving that benediction. So Akshaya Patra became the blessing for Yudhishthir because he had the mindset to serve. Whereas Satrajit, that benediction became the cause of his death, because he had the attitude of hoarding the wealth. And then another thing in relation to wealth. About the quality of a Brahmana and Vaishya. So you see, in the case of a Brahmana, one of the most important quality for a brahmana is satisfaction. When the brahmana becomes greedy, although he may have many other good qualities, but because of this quality of greed, that will spoil the entire character of a brahmana. Just like one spot of white leprosy on a beautiful person will actually make that person ugly. Similarly, even little bit of greed on the part of brahmana can spoil his character. Therefore, for a brahmana and brahmachari, satisfaction is emphasized by Vamanadev to Bali Maharaj. Vamanadev says that Yavanto Vishaya Preshtas Trilokyam Ajitendriyam Na Shaknuvanti Te Sarve Pratipurayitam Dripa. Even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Therefore, if I were not satisfied with these three pieces of land, then surely I will not be satisfied even with possessing one of the seven islands. So, the sense. So, Vamanadeva is emphasizing the quality of satisfaction. But the same Vamanadeva, in the form of Krishna, when we are speaking Uddhava Gita, he talks about the qualities of a Vaishya. Astikyam Dana Nishtacha Adambo Brahma Sevanam Atushtir Artho Pachayair Vaishya Prakritayastvima. So the natural qualities of the Vaishyas are faith, astikyam, faith in Vedic civilization, Dana Nishta, dedication to charity, Adamba, freedom from hypocrisy, Brahma Sevanam, service to the Brahmanas, and Atushtir Arthopachaye, perpetually desiring to accumulate more money. These are the natural qualities of a Vaishya. So the 8th canto, Vamanadev warned about greed and he spoke about the glories of satisfaction. But in the 11th canto, when Krishna is talking about Vaishya, he says the natural quality of a Vaishya is a desire to accumulate more money. So here, this particular quality of greed, desire to earn more money, that is not considered a fault on the part of Vaishya. That is actually natural for him. That is a natural desire for him. You cannot suppress it. But when a brahmana becomes greedy, then that is a downfall. So and also, when a Vaishya wants to earn more and more money, this effort should be supplemented with the other, by developing the other qualities mentioned in the same verse. That is faith in the Vedic civilization, dedication to charity, respect to the brahmanas, free from being hypocrisy and show business. One should supplement this greed for accumulating wealth by developing these other qualities. Then this greed will not be considered as a material greed. Wealth and power can be taken away even from the Lord's eternal associates. So therefore, we must utilize the wealth in the service of the Lord. And that is why the Bhagavatam first canto says that Vanchitoham Maharaja Krishna Bandurupina Yename Apakritam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat. Arjuna said that Supreme Personality of Godhead who treated me exactly like an intimate friend has left me alone. Therefore, my astounding power, which astonished even the Devatas, is no longer with me. If power can be taken away from a personality like Arjuna, who is a Nitya Siddha associate of Krishna, so what to speak of actually ordinary persons? Definitely they will also lose their power and wealth. Therefore, Prabhupada says that as long as we have the power and wealth, we should utilize the power and wealth in the service of the Lord, knowing well that whom they belong to. And I'll mention something about charity. Shukracharya gives the principle of dividing wealth in 5 parts. Dharmaya yashaseer arthaya, kamaya svajanaya cha, panchada vibhajan vittam ihamutra cha modate. So a person who is full in knowledge, who is knowledgeable, should divide his wealth in the 5 parts for religious purposes, for one's reputation, for one's opulence, and for sense gratification. I mean, like for enjoyment and for the maintenance of his family members. So one should divide the wealth in these 5 parts. One who does like this, he is happy in this world and in the next world. And Shukracharya tells Vamanadeva about the charity. Satyam pushpa palam vidyat atma vrikshasya giyate vrikshe jivati tannasyad anritam moolamatmanah. So the Vedas say that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers which are derived from the body. And then he says, but if you give everything in charity, your factual, this bodily tree itself will cease to exist. Then when the body itself ceases to exist, there will no longer be any fruits or flowers. When the tree is no longer there, how can you get fruits and flowers? So therefore, Shukracharya says that even though breaking the promise is based on untruth, but it is all right. You can break the promise in the difficult circumstances. There cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. So in that purport, Prabhupada says that earning wealth, taking care of the body is important. One should neither become overwhelmed with the taking care of the body, nor a person should neglect one's wealth and health. There should be a healthy balance between them. Oh, there are actually many other points, but I will just conclude with a few points and end. So it is said that wealth is purified by charity. Kalena snana shauchabhyam samskarais tapase jaya shudyanti dani santushtya dravyan atmatma vidyaya. So different things are purified by different things. Like for example, birth is purified by samskaras, senses are purified by tapasya, worship and mind is purified by satisfaction, and our wealth is purified by charity. Dravyani dhanai shuddhyanti dhanai. And when we give charity, it is important we give charity to the right person. Jale tailam kale guhyam patre danam managapi pragye shastram swayam yati vistaram vastu shaktitah. Oil which is spilt on water, secret told to a wicked person, and a charity done to a deserving person, and wisdom, knowledge taught to an intelligent person, even though they may be small in nature, but they will expand in due course of time. Because of the nature of the recipient. When you speak a secret to a wicked person, that he will actually spread it to everyone. It will expand everywhere. When oil is spilled on the water, it has a nature to expand it in the entire water. Similarly, when charity is done to a deserving person, although the charity may be small, but the charity will eventually increase. And it is said that Kim Dhatur Akilair Doshai Kim Lubdasya Akilair Gunaihi Na Loba Dadiko Dosho Na Dana Adiko Gunaha. It does not matter if a generous person has some defects. It does not matter if a greedy person has all the good qualities. There is no greater vice than greed, and there is no greater quality than being generous. And another beautiful verse, only that cooked food is good which remains after feeding the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Only that friendship is real when that friendship is mutual. And that scholarship is glorious which deters a person from indulging in sinful activities. And that charity is real charity when the charity is done without hypocrisy or without pomp and pride. Dambam vina yaha kriyate sa dharmaha. So charity done without the showing off, that charity is a real religious charity. Yeah, that is why Krishna says that when he talks about the charity in the mode of passion, one of the qualities is the charity done with a grudge. Yattu pratyupakarartham palam uddishya vapunah. And the charity done with the expectation of something in return. And that is the charity in the mode of passion. And charity in the mode of ignorance, charity done without seeing the Desha Kala and Patra. Adeshe Kale Yadanam Apatre Bhyascha Diyate Asatkritam Abhagnyatam Taddamasam Udakritam. So charity performed at an inappropriate time, place to unworthy person is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. So another beautiful verse about the wealth is Shrir Mangalat Prabhavati Pragalbhyat Sampravardate Dakshyattu Kurute Moonam Samyamat Pratitishtati. So prosperity happens. How a person gets prosperity? By performing good deeds. And how can a person increase one's wealth? By maturity of intelligence. Pragalbhyat Sampravardate. And how can a person protect one's wealth? Dakshyatu kurute mulam. One should, by one's skill and cleverness, one can actually maintain, protect one's wealth. And samyamat pratitishtati. And the wealth establishes itself by discipline, by sense control. That means one should not become extravagant and enjoy in an excessive manner when a person accumulates wealth. One should observe sense control. So like that, there are many, many verses about wealth. I just covered one portion. Maybe this last verse of Niti Shataka, very interesting verse. Yeah, very beautiful verse. Here, in this world, there are many things in this world. Most objects in this world, they are deemed to be beautiful when they are very big, when they have power, then most objects are considered to be beautiful. But there are certain objects, they appear beautiful when they are not big and great. What are those things? Manihi shano leader సమర విజయి కేతి దళితు మదక్షీణు నాగశరది సరిత శయాణ పులిన కళాశేషంద్ర సురత మృదిత బాలవనిత తనిమ్నా శోభంతే గలిత విభావ చార్తిషు నరాః. సో ఇట్ మీన్స్ దట్ లైక్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ దేర్ ఆర్ మెనీ జ్యువెల్స్ ద జ్యువెల్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ when they are very sharp and thin then they appear the jewels appear beautiful they are not beautiful when they are sharp and thin they are very beautiful. So similarly many other examples are given, and a person who by giving charity who has become depleted or who have become very lean and thin, he is considered to be beautiful. Although he is lean and thin because of giving away the wealth, but still he is considered to be beautiful. So in this way, wealth is important. Wealth should be used as a tool, but wealth should not be made as the goal of our life. And the most important thing, as far as possible, we should earn the wealth by following the dharmic means. Earning wealth by adharmic means, it will give unhappiness. It will not bring happiness. But as far as possible, we should try to earn by dharmic means. The most important thing in the wealth is how we utilize the wealth. So therefore, the best example for this is Sudama. Sudama was completely poor. He didn't have anything. But he gave his best to Krishna. He gave whatever his best capacity is getting only those 4 handfuls of chipped rice. So he gave his best to Krishna, and Krishna gave his best to Sudama in return. So whatever wealth we have, when we do our best in the service of Krishna, using that wealth in the service of the devotees, Krishna will do his best to us. Because Prabhupada says in one purport in second canto, charity done to a half qualified person or a less qualified person, at least it will come in the same proportion in return. And the charity done to a half qualified Brahmana, you will get at least hundreds of amounts in return. And charity done to a qualified Brahmana, you will get thousands of amount of the same thing in return in the next life. And charity done to a Veda Paranga, a devotee of the Lord who knows the conclusions of the Vedas, you will get unlimited amount in return. So therefore, charity, in this way, these are some points I wanted to share about wealth. Discuss different verses, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Satrajit, and different other verses. So, let's stop here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for a very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, especially about the wealth and how to use it and the best way to use it, and it used in the service of Krishna and in a proper way. It's and all those points. Thank you, very very wonderful points, Prabhuji. I would like. Do you have time, Prabhuji? Should we go with questions? Or?
Few questions we can take.
Okay. So devotees, if you have any questions, please raise your hands and maybe unmute yourself and we can ask. I think there is one question in the chat.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvir Pranams. Prabhuji, I just have this one question that, I mean, you were reading certain verses and some references, Prabhu. I'm just curious where you got them from.
Some of the verses from Bhagavatam, some from Mahabharata, some from Niti Shataka, Bhartruhari, like that.
Sure, Prabhu. And am I mean, right in understanding that, you know, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we follow the Bhagavad Dharma. So you know, we are, our focus is different, like the Vairagya mark. So am I right in understanding that, Prabhu?
Yeah, Bhagavad Dharma is the goal of getting actually. Aspiring for Krishna Prema is the goal. But how do we apply that even for practicing the Bhagavad Dharma? Can we practice Bhagavad Dharma if we are not, if we don't have the next meal, or if we don't have some money to take care of our health? If there are people who can practice Bhagavad Dharma, there are people like Madhavendra Puri who did not even put an effort to, even if he would be hungry, he would not even put an effort to get some food. And he would be absorbed in Krishna Bhakti even in that such a situation. There are people like Jadabharata who could practice Bhagavad Dharma with complete absorption even when people were throwing only the food meant for the horses to eat to Jadabharat. They could practice Bhagavad Dharma even in that situation. So if a person is on a similar platform, he doesn't need to worry about earning wealth. He doesn't need to earn, but for most people, they need a practical stability to practice Bhagavad Dharma. And that's why our scriptures give a wholesome this one. We need to practice, even to practice Bhagavad Dharma, we need a basic material stability. And that material stability has to be, further we need to practice Varnashram Dharma. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned 50% of the goal of the Vaishnavic movement is about Varnashram Dharma. 50% is a big number. Varnashram Dharma involves all the different aspects in regard to the body. Earning wealth or different aspects of the bodily dharmas, Varnashram Dharma, are related to the body. But body is, you cannot neglect the body, at the same time you cannot become too much absorbed in the body. So I quoted that verse from the 8th canto. Shukracharya is telling to Bali Maharaj, if you give everything in charity to Bali Maharaj, then how will you be able to practice Dharma? In that purport, Prabhupada says that it is not that we pay our whole attention to the body, but at the same time, we cannot neglect the needs of the body. So, I think that's why I made it clear that wealth is a tool, but not the goal. Don't make the tool as the goal, and don't make the goal as the tool. Yeah, if somebody is on the level of Madhavendra Puri, yeah, we don't have to hear about wealth. We can just chant 24 hours, worrying, nothing about anything.
Thank you, Prabhuji, because so long, you know, we've been listening, you know, Bhagavad Katha and the principles of how, you know, renounced devotees are and how to rely completely on Krishna. So, I mean, in that sense, your class was a little different for me to, you know, the concepts you presented were a little different. And that's why I had some questions from you. Thank you so much.
I'll give one example. Without the names, there was one Srila Prabhupada's disciple, a very dedicated disciple. So in the early days in the movement, he was from a very rich background and he joined as a brahmachari and then he was serving with great dedication. And his parents came to meet Prabhupada and his parents gave a blank check to Prabhupada that you can take any amount of money but give my son. But at that time, actually, Prabhupada did not take that amount of money. He said, he has that, your son has the free will. If you want, he can be here, and if you want, he can go. I am not forcing anybody, but just to actually get money, I cannot actually just leave that person. Let him make the choice. And so that devotee actually rejected so much of wealth from his parents in order to serve Prabhupada. But the same devotee, after a few decades, there are great devotees serving the Prabhupada. But when he got a severe disease, terminal disease, he had to take the financial help from his parents in order to actually practice bhakti, in order to continue the service. What I'm mentioning is that the reality of life is that the same person who rejected the wealth few decades ago, at a particular point of time, he had to accept the wealth to have a certain stability in the material platform to continue his service. Therefore, we cannot neglect the wealth. At the same time, we cannot make wealth a goal. It can be simply used as a tool. Okay. Sukha Mataji.
I think Mataji only spoke, Mataji. I think.
Yeah, that was me, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. There is a question in the chat box. Can you please advise how to overcome or curb greed?
Overcome or curb greed? Yeah, that verse which is spoke from the 11th canto. There is no problem wanting to have more money, provided you also increase proportionately the quantity of charity. There's no problem, you can get more money. But at the same time, you also increase your charity proportionately. And in earning more money, don't compromise your relationships. Don't compromise your sadhana. Suppose you have to earn more money, if you have to, you don't get time to hear and chant, you don't get time to spend time with your family members or the relationship with the devotees, then it is called as a greed. But as long as you are able to perform your sadhana, and as long as you are not compromising the relationships or the health, as long as you are also increasing the quantity of charity, then there is no problem in earning more money. You can be a billionaire or a crore. But if the earning money is done at the compromise of sadhana, at the compromise of relationships, and if you are increasing proportionately the charity, then it is called as a greed. Is it clear?
Any other questions or any realizations? I don't see anything. Okay. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you. We look forward for your session, Prabhu. Let's pay our obeisance to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnava vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Skandara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.